I think everybody realized that the threat was of such a magnitude that these little turf battles, you know, had to be dropped. And there's been a number of agreements reached between DEA, FBI, the Department of Homeland Security over the past 2 years, really. So you're seeing the fruits of that kind of connectivity occurring now. And I'm sure there are other investigations that obviously we haven't been told about that will be producing results in the days and years ahead.
Maybe you'd like to share with us what's your take on some of the thinking here that they waited to arrest these people en masse. It's obviously all of these suspects are not connected directly, or probably many of them even indirectly. But waiting for this to culminate like this, obviously there's a specific strategy there.
Right. What we have here is the war against a new mafia, really, something that'll institutionalize itself and set down deep roots in American society and be a problem for years and decades to come, just like the mafia was in the eastern seaboard cities. A lot of that was the result of prohibition, you know, in the 1920s. And it really was a cancer in American society for many decades. And we don't want the same thing to happen here in the southwest border. There's always been drug networks. There's always been drug dealers. There's always been problems with this ever since, you know, certain substances were declared illegal. But what you see in Mexico is such a deep-rooted problem for their society, and you don't want the same thing happening here because it not only subverts your law enforcement, it subverts your whole political system. And this is what these operations, these big operations, the Operation Coronado, the Project Deliverance, whatever, are intended to do on a macro scale.
Is the Obama administration, as far as you're aware, been pressuring the Mexican government to deal with this problem on their side of the border where the drugs are being grown, being produced? Obviously, that's at the heart of the problem. In a sense, those fields need to be destroyed to do away with the product, I would think, or else the problem's not going to go away.
Well, this is a very big problem for both countries. And I think you're seeing some pretty good cooperation. Now, there are differences and there are problems, like what happened with that Mexican boy who was apparently shot after rocks were thrown across the border at Border Patrol agents. But that's almost a glitch. You know, you hate to say that about a single individual. But when you look at the very broad picture, you see the United States is cooperating to an unprecedented degree with the Calderon government. You see much more cooperation among American and Mexican law enforcement. You see the United States taking efforts at Mexico's behest to try and stop the money and the guns that are going south along the border. So I think both countries, both governments, both societies really have realized that this is a common threat that has to be dealt with in a common effort. And all the past differences, I mean, that go back, Lord knows, to 1848, have to be set aside, and they're both countries have a stake in winning this war.
It seems to me in the past the Mexican government may have seen it as an advantage to have the drug trade operating as it was, say, decades ago. But the drug trade's gotten out of control. They make an awful lot of money. So it seems like the Mexican government now has recently, fairly recently, sort of turned the tide and decided they're going to take on the drug cartel leaders.
Well, actually, this is part of, it's interesting that you ask precisely this question, because we did a three-part series on the Savage Struggle in Mexico, we called it. And what you had before was you had the Institutional Revolutionary Party, the PRI, and they had kind of come up with an accommodation of the drug smugglers. And the deal was that they would sort of turn a blind eye to the movement of drugs, but the drugs could not stay in Mexico. That was number one. And number two, the cartels agreed not to get involved in politics. You know, politics was the PRI's thing, and drugs were the cartels' things, and it was all going north to the Yankees who wanted it. So, you know, everybody laid low and stayed quiet. Several things changed this. First of all, the PRI was thrown out electorally in Mexico. There was a major political change there. Secondly, you had 9/11. And suddenly the United States is paying very close attention to its borders and starting to close it. Well, what has happened is that accommodation, that old accommodation, has broken down. Secondly, to get across the United States border, they have these drug plazas. You can't get across everywhere. So you've got to go to the places where there are weaknesses. We keep closing those vulnerabilities, or trying to. They keep finding new ones. And then they had a government, when Calderon came in 2006, that wasn't going to tolerate the presence of the narco cartels as a political force. The narco cartels have been attacking the Mexican government. They assassinated some very high officials there. So it's a fluid, dynamic, and very confusing, actually, situation. Plus, don't forget, all the cartels are fighting among themselves.